G. Willow Wilson's novel A Leaf the Unseen is one of those books that is almost impossible to label. Is it fantasy? Maybe literary fiction? Dystopia? How about techno-crime noir? Or as the New York Times put it, an exemplar of Islamic mysticism with ties to the work of the Sufi poets. As Anne Strainchamps discovered, A Leaf the Unseen is steeped in an even older tradition. It is a book of magic about a book of magic.
So in terms of the magic that you bring into the book, it comes actually in the form of an old book. This is something that kind of falls into Aleph's lap and is, what is it called, The 1001 Days?
Yes, it is. And that is actually based on a real book written by a French nobleman who was a diplomat in the Persian court under the Sun King, Louis XIV. And at the time, the first big 1001 Nights craze was kind of sweeping Europe. It had been translated into French, and so people were mad for these stories, which they'd never seen before. And he brought back these stories that he called Les Mille et Un Jours, the 1001 Days. And it was in many ways an inversion of the 1001 Nights. The frame story is about a young princess who has a dream in which she is a deer and she's kind of abandoned by a stag. And this tells her that she should never get married because men are untrustworthy and will abandon you in your time of need. And so her father, the king, who's concerned for her future, asks her nurse to tell her stories that will make her feel better about the idea of marriage and might sort of bring her around to the idea of getting married. And so there's some wonderful stories that kind of spin out from there. And the consensus is that it was probably a fake. He claimed that he heard these stories from Persian mystics, but the consensus is that he probably made them up. But I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if he was telling the truth, and that not only were these stories passed down through Persian mystics, but that they got them from the jinn, these hidden fairy-like creatures that exist in Islamic mythology, and that these stories were actually the key to some kind of arcane knowledge that we weren't meant to have. And so in the book, the frame story of Princess Farrukhwaz is the same, but I made up several, you know, folk tales that are not in the original Mille et un jour to sort of serve the story, because they're sort of this repository in the book for the arcane knowledge of the unseen.
And the way you describe the jinn, nobody can ever quite figure out exactly what they look like, but they seem to be part animal.
Yeah. I mean, typically in Islamic mythology, the jinn are shapeshifters. They're made out of smokeless fire. That's how they're described in the Quran. So they can take many shapes. They can appear like human beings. They can appear like flame or shadow, but they can also take the shapes of animals. And so in the book, I have one genie who takes the shape of a cat, and Vikram, who's sort of the genie who hangs around with the protagonist. You're never quite sure what he looks like. He looks like he could be a man. He could be an animal. How the characters see the jinn is based on their own level of belief, their own openness to the idea that there might be this other unseen world. And so some characters can't see them at all. Some characters see ordinary human beings, and then other characters see horrible monsters.
I wanted to ask you to read a passage I think this is a conversation between Aleph and Vikram, one of the jinn, and Vikram is sort of trying to explain to Aleph something about the parallel world, the world of the jinn that exists side by side with the human world.
Sure. So in this conversation, Aleph is talking with Vikram about the hidden knowledge that the jinn are supposed to possess, and he's trying to explain a little bit about what he means. So Aleph begins by asking, "About your parallel knowledge, what did you mean by that?" "I meant that my race is older than yours. We think about the world differently. We remember the foretime when it was just us and the angels, and your tribe had not yet been created from earth and blood. So we tell stories differently. Oh, they might look the same on the outside, but they have meanings that are hidden from you, just as we ourselves are hidden." Aleph could already feel his interest flagging. It was like listening to the babbling of a madman in the marketplace. One feigned attention, then moved away.